Don't eat out of the bathroom trash can, folks. It's not gonna work out so hot.
Welcome to the Curio Podcast.
Woo!
That's my intro.
I love it. It's brilliant.
It kind of gave me like a Western TV from the 60s feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Bonanza or something.
Yeah.
Wild Wild West. That guy was cute back then. What was his name? Robert Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. What are we talking about tonight, Kimmy?
We're talking about the brain-gut axis.
It's a motherfucker.
Gut-brain axis? I don't know. My notes say the axis of potential allies.
Wow. Did you come up with that?
Yeah.
You're so good. That's amazing.
How low is your bar?
My bar is very high for you, and you always exceed it with your wordsmithing. Your wordsmithery, Kimmery.
Smiffy.
So last week, we did not do a podcast because my IBS symptoms were on fuego really badly, which they are even worse when I'm on my period. So I had both of those things going on. I had anxiety, panic, every symptom you can think of. I was tired. Everything was wrong with me. And it was kind of late when I texted you and said,
yeah,
we were close to podcast, and I was like, I can't.
Yeah. You were
just like, even though it's not physically demanding to sit here and talk, it's like hard to think when I'm having those symptoms.
Well, right. When you're in pain, pain isn't good for thinking.
No. So that's why we're doing this show, because God damn it.
And I think we needed the extra week to do all the research.
There's too much information.
We were going to do this last week, right?
We were, yeah, which is the funny thing.
Right.
But I think that I suggested it because I had already been feeling bad, right. You know.
Yeah.
And I get these episodes depending on what I eat or how my brain is feeling. I should rephrase that. How my neurological feedback loop is feeling.
The body, how the body is feeling.
How my aura is feeling.
The brain.
The episodes will last anywhere from, like, you know, a few hours to days. They can last days and weeks. So
it's got to be exhausting.
Yeah, it's very exhausting. And I haven't been sleeping well, so I'm... Anyway, all of that to say, get ready for some talk about your colon.
Woo!
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get started.
So Cass,
Kim,
tell me more about your belly symptoms. When did they start?
I've always had like a sensitive belly. But then when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I went on a cruise to Mexico and got food poisoning.
Oh, God.
And I have never been the same since.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But IBS runs in my family.
Okay.
The women in my family. So it could be part of that sort of anxiety, depression piece. But right. Also, the anxiety, depression piece can also be part of the IBS piece.
Right.
It's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. So I was... this is going to sound gross. I would have terrible, long episodes of diarrhea. I couldn't eat. One time I had to go to the hospital to get an IV fluid because I was so dehydrated from diarrhea and not being able to eat or drink. Like,
oh my God.
So I've always had a lot of digestive issues and started to realize that there were certain things that I couldn't eat. The main one, the one that causes me the biggest, like, stabbing, horrible heat pain is onions. Mm-hmm. Onions and garlic. And I had told my doctor about it, and she was just, she kept telling me, she would just dismiss me and say something like, oh, you just need to take a walk.
Oh, God.
Things like that. That classic, like, women are just hysterical. Just, you just need to calm down, crazy bitch.
Yeah.
But I was in so much pain and not eating and, you know, all that. Anyway, I had had an avocado sub from my favorite, I can't eat there anymore, my favorite sandwich shop here in Pasadena called Connell's on Washington Boulevard in Pasadena. It's lovely. Go there. So it's all avocado and bread and a little bit of lettuce and some oil. That's the whole sandwich. It's spectacular. And I ate the whole thing, and I was sick for weeks, and I couldn't figure it out. And then that episode ended, and I had broccoli, which I love broccoli. And that caused me to be so fucking sick that I went to my doctor, and I was crying in her office, going, I was saying, there's all these things that I can't eat. It hurts so bad. It feels like somebody's stabbing me with a hot poker, like onions and broccoli and avocado. I love broccoli. Broccoli's healthy. I just want to eat broccoli. And she started laughing. By this time, I had switched doctors. This wasn't the same doctor that kept dismissing me. And she said, I just read an article about this. And I said, what? She goes, I just read an article about this. Follow this diet, the FODMAP diet. Mm-hmm. And I did, and I've been mostly better since then. Lately, I've been more stressed out, and traveling makes it so that I can't always check all the foods that I'm eating. But
right, yeah, you don't have the control over.
So I had a lot of, like, people not believing me, or...
Right.
I think women get dismissed a lot when mm-hmm. we have those sorts of problems, yep. as it's just hysterical, so...
Right. Women get dismissed a lot for medical issues.
Well, we spoke about this on our trip, about the endometriosis, where right. they just like, ugh, you oh, might as well
you
just...
You probably have endometriosis, and you're like, look, this makes my life hell for a week out of the month.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, take some ibuprofen, handle it.
Right.
Wait, what? Like...
I had one gastroenterologist
God.
Do an MRI on my belly because there was nothing that she could fix surgically. She sent me an email that said, your MRI showed that your intestines are fine. You have fibroids and a fatty spot on your liver.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay, that all sounds bad. But she's a gastroenterologist, so it didn't matter to her. And she said at the end of her, after she said all those things, she said the words, so good luck.
Oh, my God.
And that was the last I'd ever heard from her.
Oh, my God.
If I hadn't found this diet, I would still be like...
How horrible.
Crying and pooping.
And not eating anything. Ah! Oh, my God.
So let's talk about this axis. It's very interesting, don't you think?
It is. And there's a lot of new research about it. I mean, it's emerging as we speak.
Very much so,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very new.
So I had seen a documentary maybe 3 years ago about the brain-gut connection. And the thing that stood out to me the most that was so fascinating was the idea that, let's say, back in our evolution, we were sort of worm-shaped. We were all one kind of tissue.
Okay, way back.
Way back.
I'm like, with faces?
Yeah, no. So if you imagine like an earthworm...
Right.
It's one kind of tissue. It's got one system, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we were. If that system then starts evolving and kinking up and whatever.
Yeah.
The tissue that's the brain tissue where we think that we're doing all of our thinking is the same as the tissue in our small intestine where we are doing a lot of thinking. I mean, if you even just visualize those two things,
mm-hmm. yeah,
the kinked up tissue, they look exactly the same.
Right. Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
So there are neurons, there are brain cells basically in your intestine. Mm-hmm. There are brain cells in your heart.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
Oh, we'll get into that. You're probably thinking a little bit with your heart and holding memories there. They have figured that out because of heart transplants.
Whoa.
Right. There's so
there are memory cells all over your body, too.
All over yours. So that's why we wanted to do the show. We've got to rethink how we think. We're not only thinking from the neck up. We're not only holding memories in one little organ. Mm-hmm. All of these organs work together.
Right. We are an ecosystem.
We're
an individual ecosystem.
And that's not even getting into the bacteria in all the biomes in our bodies and on our bodies and whatever.
That are all unique and individual. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like everybody has a heart, everybody has this biome, but the biome is a whole unique thing.
Mm-hmm. What did you find out that was fascinating for you?
All of the things, because I didn't know anything about it, really.
Oh.
I hadn't, you know, looked into it too much. I mean, I'd heard stories and stuff, but the connection is so profound.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think of my mom, who also had very similar problems.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, back then in the 80s, 70s and 80s, 60s, I mean, I have paperwork from the place where she was adopted saying that she was having trouble digesting regular milk and formula.
Mm-hmm.
So her digestive tract was screwed from the get-go.
Right.
It wasn't explored because they didn't know about it back then. And then the antibiotics, oh, you've got this, so here's some antibiotics, and blah, 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 and no dietary restrictions, no, like, maybe you should give up milk, or maybe you should give up wheat, or whatever. It was just all pharmaceutical intervention, and you know what I mean? It was not good.
Well, the doctors didn't understand the microbiomes, first of all.
Right.
They didn't have the diagnostic equipment or knowledge to understand that, like, the heart is more than just a pump in the body. They didn't understand that it had electricity in it. It had neural cells in it. They didn't have the knowledge, or the diagnostic material to understand that these systems are so delicate and interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing antibiotics at it, you've just killed someone's microbiome forever.
Right.
It's permanently changed after that.
Yep. Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. I honestly don't know where to start. You go, and then I'll chime in. Because this is... Look, I've got 1, 2, 3,
oh my God,
4,
dude.
5, 6, 7 pages. And I ended on things that you can do to help have a healthy microbiome.
Right.
But yeah, it was so much, and I know I just nicked the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Maybe we should have, like, concentrated on one thing. But that's so hard when you're curious about something and then you get excited because you're like, oh, I've never heard of that before.
Right. And then, oh, well, let me look up that and that and that.
Right. So let's start here.
Okay.
Feedback loops.
Feedback loops. That's my second paragraph.
Is it really?
It is. Feedback loops monitor and respond to any changes that need regulation. Like shivering when you're cold, sweating when you're hot, et cetera.
So this is how humans, are all organisms that are alive, learn. Is there's some outputting thing and then there's some inputting thing, right? And that happens with our cells too. It happens between the heart and the brain. It happens between the brain and the gut. It happens for children when they're learning how to talk and they say the word wrong and then one of their parents says it back to them the right way.
Right.
It's that neural pathway. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine, for instance, the heart makes 10 to 100 times more electricity than the brain does.
Wow.
And they're in a constant feedback loop. So there have been experiments done where they realize, like, showing pictures to people who are hooked up to EKGs or EEGs, which is for the brain, they realize that the heart senses danger a fraction of a second before the brain does. It's the heart that sends the electrical impulse to the brain that says, get ready, because the brain is controlling the rest of your functions. So the heart goes, that's why when you get scared, you feel it in your chest.
Right, yeah.
So it sends the impulse to your brain, and your brain then prepares your body for fight or flight.
Right, so then you're in your limbic system.
Right.
Which is the reptilian brain, the fight or flight. And so all of a sudden your brain, your body goes, okay, so my heart rate's going to go up. My pupils are going to dilate. I'm going to be like ready. And
right.
I'm uber vigilant, paying attention to everything around me. And it's all your systems just go on red alert.
Right.
Including your digestive system.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they've also found in reference to the digestive system that it has reactions that are measurable when you have emotions or you're in danger. So if you imagine that you're like for instance, let's say somebody makes you laugh and your facial expression changes and you smile, and it's a natural thing. You didn't tell your face to smile. Your face just smiled.
Right.
There are those same reactions in the gut. You have measurable, basically, facial reactions. If you just use that paradigm of your face. Or, for instance, when you get embarrassed and you flush. I mean, you can think of a bunch of different things. But so your digestive system reacts emotionally the same way your heart does, your brain does, your skin does, all of it.
Right.
So what's tripping me out is the idea that we all imagine that our brains are the thing, right? Our brains are the queen of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
They're more of like a data way station or a
telephone switchboard.
A telephone switchboard.
Right.
So let's say someone gets a heart transplant from a person that was an athlete, and that person was never an athlete. They will start biking and cycling and skydiving, and then they will meet the donor's family and find out that that person was a stuntman or something. And
so they're just compelled to do these
things. It's almost like a slight personality change.
Wow.
Like a man who never went to high school, he never wrote his wife a love letter, he wasn't scholarly in any way, is now writing a book and writing his wife love letters.
Wow, that's weird.
Finds out that his donor was a writer.
Oh my gosh.
So what they're saying is that heart-brain feedback loop where the heart lets the brain know what's going, and then the brain lets the heart react. Like, okay, speed up. We need more.
This is what you need to do now. And
they've
tell everybody else what to do.
Right. They've created this feedback loop where they've both learned what to do, and so people are theorizing that maybe the heart holds a little more than just that kind of memory, that like one and done memory. Maybe
right.
It can hold on to a little bit of your personality. And if that's the case,
oh my God,
your personality and your memories aren't just stored in your brain. They're stored all over your body, including your gut, which is like brain tissue.
Right.
It's basically brain tissue in your belly.
Little brain.
Your little brain.
In your belly.
It's crazy!
It is, gosh. And that's, I mean, you were a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was going to massage therapy, when I was in that Rolfing
right.
deal, you know, the idea was that you've got memory cells all over your body.
Yep.
So we're going to work your body and we're going to deep tissue massage until we find the sticky parts, like the parts that make you the back of my thighs make me laugh fucking hysterically.
Right.
For no reason whatsoever. They're not especially ticklish. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
so that we hold these memories in certain parts of our bodies. You know, if you're in a car wreck and you brace yourself and part of your body gets injured, that's going to be a spot where you experience maybe fear or anxiety or something.
Well, besides that, you also might hold on to that pain and not even know why you're holding on to it.
Right.
The point with the body work was that you could even bypass the brain. Not the point, but one of the selling points was you could bypass the brain. You may not have to remember that tragic thing that happened to you or that whatever, that your body remembers it. And if we're working with the body and letting it go, you might remember what happened that caused your shoulder to be in so much pain. You might not. Maybe we can just release it without alerting the brain that there's danger, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, let it go. Was it? Oh, back pain. So I have back pain.
Oh, yes.
And there have been times in my life where it's been debilitating, like not walking, not able to walk. I had a sciatic issue for a long time. And I was trying to do yoga and that was hurting. And then I went to a Kundalini yoga class and had a really severe response. Like,
was there a lot of breathing involved?
It wasn't super hardcore. There was more breathing than a normal yoga class. But I was, it scared me.
Really?
It scared the fuck out of me. And it was like a psychedelic trip. That's the only way I know how to explain it. It really freaked me out. And so I went again to another Kundalini class. And
was this with your cousin?
The first one was with my cousin back east. Okay. And then the second one was with her friend.
I remember this.
Here. And again, I had a really, really profound experience. And I wanted to do it. I really wanted to sink into it. But
it was
something
too much.
Was just like, no. And they're like, you should probably wear, you know, something white on your head.
What?
And yeah, it's.
Oh, that's part of the Kundalini thing.
Right. Yeah, that it was some kind of, I don't really understand it, but it just scared the fuck out of me. But back to the back issues. My cousin, who's the yoga instructor, sent me a book about back pain and how there's a lot of psychology involved in it. And I read it and I was like, okay, I get it now. And so I started to pay attention to when my back was hurting.
How you were feeling mentally, you mean, or emotionally?
How I was feeling mentally or what was going on in my life. And there was a definite connection between feeling overwhelmed and feeling like I needed help and couldn't ask for it, that I was just overburdened. I was carrying too heavy a load.
Carrying too heavy, yeah.
And it went away. And every once in a while now, it gets a little wonky, but I'm aware of it, and I haven't had the really bad...
Yeah, you were in bad shape for a while.
Oh, my God. I went to physical therapy. That
was a couple years, right?
Oh, it was when we were in Livermore. Yeah. It was...
Well, you hated it then.
It got really, really bad in Livermore, but it started not long before we moved. And during that whole time, it was terrible. It's really bad.
Sorry, I just made ice noises with my iced coffee because I'm tired.
Doesn't bother me.
So with the microbiome, let's say you've lost your microbiome, which I assume I have because of the food poisoning.
And your microbiome is a whole system of bacteria and viruses and all kinds of crazy things.
There's hormones involved. Oh, yeah.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on in there. And it's a little ecosystem. And there's some good players and some bad players. And, you know.
Hopefully you have more good than bad. Right. They balance each other.
Yeah.
But if that gets out of whack, it's very hard to rebuild it. So a person might have a set point, like you would weight. They'd now think that like weight loss on a major scale is nearly impossible because your body has its set. It has its set point. It's very difficult to get around that. The same is true with your microbiome. So if you lose your microbiome, you've got a new set point now. So I feel like that's what happened with me with the food poisoning. And I've always been sort of an anxious, nervous person who right. expected too much of myself and, you know, whatever. And I think just the two of those things combined.
It was already in a fragile state.
Already a fragile state, yeah.
Food poisoning sent it over the edge.
So what did you find out about building a new microbiome? Because I always assumed that you just can't. You just got to kind of go with the flow and see what happens. And I don't think that probiotics, do they work?
They are supposed to be helpful. Everybody's body is different, though. That's mm-hmm. the thing. I will out of the gate say that I learned about fecal transplants.
Oh, yeah. I'd already heard of them, obviously.
So, I mean, that's supposed to be a really good thing.
Well, that has to tie in with the that only works for a couple of disorders, like ulcerative colitis and one other one I can't remember the name of, but if you still have some of your microbiome in any way, introducing somebody else's doesn't necessarily, yours will just kind of fight it off. But what they have done with some people is completely remove their microbiome by right. giving them intense
right.
antibiotics mm-hmm. and then doing the fecal transplant.
And then it rebuilds itself.
And then it rebuilds itself.
Basically.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it's a very difficult thing to rebuild, I think. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's, and that's the thing. There's still so many unknowns about it. And how the emotional component, I mean,
it's like a chicken or the egg thing, though.
Right. It's this cycle. And right. it's like, how do you get into that cycle to change it, basically? Right. So, you know, you get anxious and then your gut responds with something that's not helpful for mm-hmm. your microbiome mm-hmm. and then you have gastric distress, which then makes you feel pain and anxious again, probably. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a never ending.
And after years you start to get depressed and think, I can't live like this anymore. Oh, another thing about depression, anxiety with IBS, 95% of the serotonin that is produced in your body is produced and stored in the gut.
Oh, wow.
It's produced there.
I didn't realize that.
Your gut controls how happy you are.
Oh, geez. And that makes me wonder about the whole dopamine response and then sugar.
Oh, you have a thing about sugar.
So sugar is terrible for your whole freaking body, top to
but
bottom.
But it tastes so good, Kimmy.
Exactly. So that's the thing. It falls into the category of addictive substances.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it is so addictive. The more you
Wait,
eat
Wait, chocolate doesn't count, though.
Dark chocolate doesn't count.
Oh, yay! Woohoo!
Dark chocolate and cocoa are actually very good for your microbiome.
Yay! Sorry, go ahead.
So you eat sugar and you get this instant happy feeling, you know, you get a little jolt of energy mm-hmm. and the dopamine goes, oh, hi, Vespa, and Vespa sniffs my ear. And then it goes away and then you want some more and then you get some more. And then what happens eventually is your tolerance grows to like any drug, right? Like you become physically addicted to. So then what happens is sugar is also an inflammatory mm-hmm. and your gut doesn't like that. Mm-mm. So it can cause inflammation in your gut, which can cause IBS and other symptoms mm-hmm. that will make you uncomfortable and make you want to soothe yourself and make you want to eat more sugar. Like
word.
It disrupts your insulin response. It can lead to diabetes. We know that. Mm-hmm. It's just bad news. And I talked to a friend over the weekend who mentioned, and she's in remission for cancer mm-hmm. right now.
Thank
and
God.
She mentioned that her doctor told her to get off sugar because there was a connection between the kind of cancer she had a very aggressive mm-hmm. cancer, mm-hmm. And diabetes and sugar intake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another one of those freaky little cycles.
Well, also just how interconnected all of it is. Like, mm-hmm. you can't just pick out, like, we think diabetes just has to do with insulin and your pancreas. Maybe not. Maybe it has a lot to do with your gut.
Right. And your brain.
And your brain.
And your emotions. And probably your heart, too.
How weird.
It's really, really fascinating. And it makes me think of, bigger picture-wise, how as a society we are so invested in a hierarchical model, both in society and also in how our bodies work. Like you mentioned that
Like our brain is the patriarchy? It's a white male?
Right.
Okay.
Like the brain is the patriarchy, is the king or the queen or whatever, and the rest of the body serves it, right?
But we have personified these systems. That's not a thing. They all work together. They're all happy.
Right.
And we're going, hey, you pump blood, but don't do anything else. Hey, you poop, but don't do anything else.
Hey.
I'm pointing at body parts. Hey, you just look out. Don't do anything else.
Oh, my gosh. So our goal is homeostasis.
Correct.
And that means that everything's working together, that mm-hmm. that our body is this magnificent commune of equality, which is really hard to manage. So, I mean, I guess if you live in a very, very simple way and you only have access to healthy foods and clean water and all that stuff, you'll be okay. But our environment
modern stress
is so toxic.
Yeah.
You know, like studies show that a vegetarian or plant-based diet really helps the biome mm-hmm. in the gut. And while I was reading that, I thought, well, all the freaking hormones they pump into animals.
The meat, yeah.
You know what I mean? And the antibiotics.
Oh.
So the antibiotics, we get those through meat and in our water. So in our tap water, if you've got a really good water filtration system like
we
you do.
We do, yeah.
You're in good shape because you're getting good water. But water
holds on to things like antidepressants
and acetaminophen and ketamine and cocaine and antidepressants and you name it. All the pharmaceuticals are ridiculously difficult to get out of our water supply. They are so hard. I've said it before. Don't flush your pills down the toilet. Okay?
Okay. I never have, but okay.
But there's also, you know, all the other stuff that when it rains and the metals. I mean, oh my God.
So you're saying you want to move to a new planet?
Yeah, pretty much. pardon me.
Those are all the notes I have.
So let's see what I've covered all that, the limbic, executive function. They have found that micro-based therapeutics, pre and probiotics, can help with autism. They have found that the microbiome of autism, some autistic people, mm-hmm. has been compromised. 70% of people diagnosed with autism also have IBS. That was one study. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's crazy.
Can I tell you something?
Well, sure. That's what we're here for.
I just had a wound. Is that for the past few years, I've been so sensitive to sound, noise, cross noise. I can't take cross noise. And I was telling either my husband or my mom, like, I'll say, like, I'm slightly autistic. Can you guys, whatever. That's only been in the past few years. Maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know.
It could be. They said that the micro-based therapeutics help with communication skills.
What does that mean, and micro-based?
So the prebiotics, probiotics, you know, the intestinal flora, basically, kind of all the bacteria, you know, people ingesting those.
Mm-hmm.
So they repopulate their microbiome.
Got it.
And they're... Certain probiotics and prebiotics affect certain things in certain ways. So, and I didn't write all these down because they're really big words, and my brain was just about done when I got to the
You mean
start.
It was just about full?
It was just about full. It started to kind of vibrate and twitch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So some prebiotics, probiotics will help people with autism.
Mm-hmm.
Some will help people with Parkinson's disease also responds to these things.
Neurological.
But they're different ones.
Mm-hmm.
They're different bacteria. And also depression. So, yeah, crazy. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Did you ever watch Futurama?
Yeah.
Do you remember the one where Fry eats a gas station egg salad sandwich?
No.
And there are worms in it, but like microscopic worms that go into his intestine and build a whole new civilization in there, and Fry suddenly becomes really smart and talented, and he can play musical instruments, and he's romantic, and he's like, but it's not him. It's these organisms in his belly.
He suddenly becomes sophisticated. So that's like everything we've talked about in a nutshell.
Right. And when I watched it, I was like, that's ridiculous. But no, it was true.
It's not ridiculous.
Oh, so the reason I've been, when I texted you last week about like not being able to do the show because my belly was so upset. I was very upset, emotionally upset about this sort of slow coup that's happening in the country with
Dude.
The voter law restriction laws and
You're giving me a hot flash
and Michael Flynn talking about, you know, overthrowing the government or whatever.
Oh my God.
So
we need a coup here, just like in Blair.
But I, you know, I've known that all along, that my emotional state will affect how my belly feels.
Mm-hmm.
It was so obvious in the past couple of weeks because we've had that break from Trump.
Right.
Where I didn't have to worry every single day if we were going to be in a nuclear war or he, yeah. you know, tried to sell Puerto Rico or whatever. I've had that break. And now that things are starting to ramp up again, I really noticed it. And then I said to myself, okay, you know, the next day, whenever it started, I'm just going to not look at the news. I'm not going to go on Twitter. I'm not going to look at the news. And I was fine that day. And then the next day I looked at the news and I was not fine that day.
Yeah.
So it's more than my diet. It's more than my microbiome. It's my fucking, it's my knowing things that causes it.
And caring. It's your big heart caring about things. And I'm cognizant of physical reactions when I'm reading the news too.
Yeah.
I'll get pissed. My breathing gets shallow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
My heart starts beating faster. And there have been times where I'm like, oh my God, this is so unhealthy.
Walk this away. I've had to tell myself, put it down and walk away. Put it down.
Walk away. You've got to think about something else right now because this is not good for your body. What if that's their secret weapon, those motherfuckers?
You're getting into conspiracy territory here.
I don't know. If they're making a bunch of liberal people sick, literally sick, with their bullshit. Look, do you hear my voice?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see my face?
Yep.
I have to pee.
and she's getting hot. She pulled her fan out.
But you know what I mean? Like, we can disease them with our disease. Just
I don't think they're smart enough.
I don't think they're smart enough, but now that I've said it, it's in the ether and somebody's going to fucking figure it out. Fucking assholes.
What do you think about all of the language around the way our organs feel? I thought that would be of particular interest to you because you're such a talented poet slash writer.
The language about how
all of the metaphors, the things that we say when we mean, you know, like, I'm heartbroken.
I was thinking about that on the way over. The heart especially.
The heart especially, yeah.
And that you brought that up and I was not even, wasn't on my radar when I did the research was really interesting to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I've got a broken heart, or oh, my heart, when you talk about, you know, someone you love.
You're, right,
oh,
or you always heart. Grab your chest.
Right, yeah.
Or follow your gut, which now that we've done all this research, I think is a very, like, stable piece of advice.
Pretty solid, but, you know, 10 years ago, it could have been a conspiracy theory.
Oh, no. Here she goes.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
I couldn't resist. But yeah, you know, intuition, gut feeling, mm-hmm. and that you're, you know, you have that. It's there.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
It's real.
It's verified. It's bona fide.
It's bona fide.
He's bona fide.
Straight up. So what does a hot flash mean?
That's just your hormones going wackadoodle.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
the hormones do that with other parts of our bodies, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of these feedback loops between different parts of our body and our brains mm-hmm. are straight up hormones.
Right.
Some of it's electricity, some of it's hormones. I mean, the biggest connection is between the brain and the gut through the vagus nerve.
Right. Yeah. And that's a two-way street.
And it's a loop.
Yeah. It's like there's information that goes down and information that comes up.
So we need to stop thinking of the brain as being just in charge of everything. It's just a way station. It's a office manager. It's a mom.
It's an office manager.
It's the mom of the body.
So the vagus nerve.
Vagus.
Vagus. I want to say. No, not Vargas. There's no R in it. I knew
Circus
that.
Vargas. That's what you were thinking
that's
of.
That's what I'm thinking. It's a circus. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, remember that commercial in the 70s when we were kids? Come on out to the circus. Circus Vargas.
So information travels either bottom up from the gut to the brain, and that's called the sensing or input neurons. That's sensing or input.
The intuition neurons?
Right. Top down from the brain to the gut are our motor or output neurons. So, like you already talked about with the heart. Like,
sending signals to get ready.
Yeah,
and then
like, okay, this
the
is,
action. Yeah.
This is what the feeling is. Now, this is what the body needs to do about it. So,
my brain is exploding right now with possibilities. The things we don't know yet.
I know. Isn't it exciting?
Wait until they get more diagnostic ability to see weird things. Right now, they can sense the electricity from your heart from 6 feet away from your body.
Who can?
Top scientists.
They can? Like, with tools? Or with
With
their
scientific tools.
Wand waver. I had palpitations really, really bad when mm-hmm. we lived in Northern California. This was a hellscape for me.
It was.
Hellish time of my life. And they were bad, and I thought, this is stress, blah, blah, blah. And then they got really bad. Like, there was a day I did not have a rhythmic heartbeat all day long. And that evening, I was like, this is fucking scary. I need to go to I went to the emergency room, basically. Yeah. And they hooked me up to a thing, you know, they're monitoring my heartbeat. And I can't remember, was it an EKG?
Yeah, EKG is heart, EEG is your brain.
And it was with all the wires and the tape and everything. And so I'm looking at it, it's right next to me. And I realized that I could change the rhythm of my heartbeat.
Right.
Like, with my brain.
So you were biofeedbacking yourself.
I guess.
That's what biofeedback is.
I don't know. It was like just by will. Like it wasn't breathing. That's biofeedback. Like, it was just like bang. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. But again, you know, that connection. And then they came in and they were like, just try to relax. You know, we're going to send you home. And one of the nurses came in before I left and she was very, really sweet, around my age. And she said, this has happened to me before. You're going to be okay. This usually resolves itself after a while. You're probably really stressed, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, I am. But that in itself, I think that's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear was for somebody to say, I believe you. This is real. I know it's scary. You're going to be okay. Just, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the emotional response to that, her telling me that, was that the trick? I don't know.
Yeah.
But something to remember.
The first time I went to the emergency room with what I now know is a panic attack. At the time, I thought I was just dying. Like, literally, like, what's wrong with you? I'm dying.
Right.
I had gotten really dizzy and felt like I was going to pass out. And then that feeling, you know, that whoosh of, panic.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're dying. And when I got to the hospital, they were doing all the checking or whatever, EKG, all of it. And my stomach was gurgling so loud that people in the room could hear it. And the doctor on call was like, what is going on in your belly? And I was like, I have no idea. But I was panic stricken. And my stomach was like, fuck!
Right.
And it wasn't, but they couldn't tell, they just told me I had vertigo and go home and rest. That was what they told me. And I was like, why would vertigo cause my stomach to go crazy and me feel like I'm going to die? Like, no.
Right.
So that was the first time when I was like, something that was happening in my brain was making my bowels, my gut, fucking freak out. Or the other way around.
Or was it the other way around?
Now I don't know.
And that makes me wonder, like, so if your gut is going to send this message to your brain, like, panic.
Right.
How does that... So I can have anxiety. I can have little tiny panic attacks where I don't feel like I'm going to die. I've had the big ones.
Right.
And I know the difference. Like, an anxiety attack is like, you know, the panic attack's little sister.
Right. You can talk yourself out of it or whatever.
Right. So what's the difference? How does it, is it different in your gut? Is it a different signal that comes up? Is it a different amount of something?
It could be amounts.
Is it food that you've eaten or chemicals in your brain? Like, what's the difference?
I can tell you, I haven't had one of those major panic attacks for years. It's the ones that send you to the hospital before you know what's going on. I went to the hospital a few times. I haven't had those for years. I think because I know now the beginnings of it. When it starts to come on.
So your brain can be like, oh.
Here it comes. You need to.
This is how we handle this.
Right. Go into a room, be by yourself, smoke some weed, do whatever. I think that I have learned, my body has learned when it's coming and can mitigate that.
Right.
I think when you don't know what's going on, all of the shit just flows everywhere.
It just keeps going. Like,
yeah.
It's just anxiety on top of anxiety. It turns into this massive loop. Whereas if the signal gets sent from your gut to your brain and your brain's like, okay.
Oh, no, we know how to do this.
We know how to do this. Like a virus.
Yeah.
We can handle this.
Right.
This is how we get rid of this. This is how we make it stop. My gosh.
I'd also like to declare that none of us are as smart as we think we are.
No.
The body knows what it's doing, and we need to, like, shut up.
Listen to our bodies, too, and pay attention to our bodies.
Dude.
They're pretty magnificent things when you think about it. Like, holy shit.
Right?
When you, I was thinking, oh my God. So, you know, you talk about the sympathetic, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah. Autonomic versus whatever nervous systems. Yeah, got
it. My heart beats all by itself. It just does that shit.
Your heart creates its own fucking electricity.
Right.
Electricity.
There's like a little Tesla ball in there going.
Bzz, bzz, bzz. When they transplant a heart into someone else, they don't gotta do anything to it.
They just hook it up and it
goes.
They
hook it up. The blood starts flowing and it goes pa-pum, 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 pa-pum.
They plug it in and
sometimes they have to do things to it. But the heart knows what to do because that's what it's always done. And it makes its own fucking energy.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
So now I want to know, I have so many questions.
We need an expert on everything to come on.
Yes, we do.
Are there any experts on everything? We need you. Sorry, what were you wondering?
Like resonance therapy and vibrations from music.
Right.
What the fuck does that do?
I don't know what we don't know yet.
That's like vibrating shit inside our bodies. Like when you can feel, like when Vespa barked and the
piano wires
started to vibrate. Like, what does that do to our cells? How do those waves, like, I don't even know. I do know this, that I have been to lots of dead shows, but Mickey Hart will bring out what he calls the beam, and it is this crazy ass thing that he built himself. They're piano wires, like, I don't know, fucking 12 feet long, 16 right. feet long, and he hits them with mallets as hard as he fucking can. And it sends out this vibrational thing through their big wall of fucking sound. And I swear to God, I have just stood there like this, like, ugh. And I've got my hands up and my eyes closed and my mouth open going, ugh.
Like you're frozen?
Like I'm in a windstorm or something. Like I'm being inundated with something. I don't even know how to explain it. And no, I wasn't on psychedelics.
Probably, okay. Maybe.
Well, not the last few times, okay?
You know, there's so much that we can't see that we don't know yet. I mean, it's only been, 70 years since they started transplanting hearts.
Right.
We don't know what they can do or what, like, is there a special kind of camera that can show, I'm freaking out now.
Brain mapping. That makes me excited and the ideas of all the things that we don't know
about.
Well,
the brain has really gotten the biggest chunk of that kind of research. And I think we're heading into a place where we're realizing that the body is a whole ecosystem, like you were saying.
Can they do brain mapping on our heart?
They have done that.
Can they do it on our intestines?
I wish they would.
What happens? Like, you know, like you hear a sound and what happens inside your belly, or, you know, you have a feeling, you're exposed to a smell or a visual.
Right.
That you have an emotional response to. What happens? Can they map that shit in your gut? Can they show, like, oh, this is lighting up or this part's
lighting
up? We
need like an aura camera, but for like neural cells. Well, and if you think about things that make you remember things, like smells or music or the tone of somebody's voice or a bird flying by or the light in the sky, you know, those those things that you're not thinking, oh, I need to remember. It's not a filing system.
Right.
Your whole body remembers things.
Right.
All of your senses remember the things.
I'm like...
And they send maybe the, you know, your skin, like somebody touches you and you
Look,
remember
I've
something.
I've got the chills right now because I'm so excited about big ideas. I'm having an emotional response.
Yay!
To having big ideas.
Maybe the brain is the filing system and our bodies are the real emotional, heart of the memory system. The body goes, oh, remember this, and sends it to the brain, and then your brain goes, hey, Cass, remember this?
Right.
Wait, I don't actually exist.
And how does And how does this translate in an evolutionary sense? Another idea I had was like, what if like all these systems are, they're not all evolved to the same
level yet?
Level. So they're all kind of jockeying around, you know, ideally all moving forward or up, mm-hmm. But just not at the same rate. So there's these hiccups, you know what I mean? Like things fall through the cracks.
Right.
Your gut biome is not, you know, keeping everything up to par. So you develop anxiety, depression, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety can be a throwback from, you know, the fight or flight part
right.
of our brain.
Survival.
Which is the
yeah.
oldest part of our brain. So I don't, there's so many questions.
We've made more questions for ourselves.
Don't we always, though? Because we're curious.
Now I'm just questioning all of reality.
Why?
Because I walk through the world with my eyes open, thinking the information goes into my eyes, into my brain, or into my ears, into my brain. My brain has all of this stored. It's a filing system. I know where everything is. I've got my brain palace on the top of my body. And it's not true! My whole body is a brain palace.
You're gonna remake your vision of your body and your brain. Then there's consciousness.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't even exist. I'm just a collection of cells that are all talking to each other. Sounds are coming out of my mouth, but I'm not thinking of the things. These cells that are
No. This wasn't about what you were saying. This was about, never mind. Keep going.
No, I don't want to. I'm gonna talk myself out of existing in a second.
Well, now we're in the realm of philosophy and all kinds of crazy shit.
What's
like
real,
that.
What's not real. All from IBS.
All from IBS.
If we could do this with IBS, we need to pick another ailment next week and like figure out what we can do with that.
I don't know.
It would just be the same conversation over.
Wow.
We should probably talk about fucking voting rights and slow coups and.
Before we do that, because I think we really should talk about that. It's going to be a long podcast, people. I made a list of foods that are good for your gut biome.
Herein it lies the problem for me is that a lot of the foods that are good for the gut biome cause me pain. But go ahead. It could be helpful for people listening.
I was writing them down. I was like, God damn it. Where are potatoes?
I know she can eat potatoes.
And I couldn't for the life of me. You were in my head during this whole research process, and I couldn't figure it out.
It's a hard one.
I just couldn't.
It's very frustrating.
I couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's acid. Just saying.
All right.
Okay. I think you tried to bite my fan. Okay, so foods that are helpful for your gut biome, veggies, fermented foods. All the fermented foods, kefir, yogurt, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha. High fiber foods, raspberries, artichokes, green peas, broccoli.
All of those things you mentioned I can't have.
Chickpeas?
Only if I soak them for 3 days and dump the water out several times to get rid of the galactins in them. But go ahead.
Even if they're cooked or no?
Cooked doesn't matter.
Okay. Lentils?
Mm-mm.
Beans?
Mm-mm.
Whole grains, oatmeal?
Yes, I can have oatmeal.
Oatmeal's really good for you across the board. It's high in fiber. It's good for your blood sugar. It's good for your heart. It's good for...
What if you drench it in brown sugar, though?
Not so much.
Okay. Go ahead.
Apples, blueberries, almonds, pistachios, dark chocolate.
Yay!
Good garlic onions, bananas.
I can have unripe bananas, yes.
Green tea, carrots.
I love carrots. I eat them all the time.
Well, see?
You got, so does Ziggy.
You got, oh, you love carrots. Carrots. She spits them out, little punk. Bad for your gut biome. Sugar, all kinds of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Artificial sweeteners, that's a whole podcast in its own. That shit is fucking toxic. Poison. Bad news, don't do it, stay away. Fried foods, processed foods, antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
meat, and this was me musing about meat, the antibiotics and meat and all the hormones and the gunk that they put into those poor animals.
Mm-hmm.
Erratic sleep patterns.
Oh, God.
Have a really bad effect on your gut biome.
Yeah, but does one cause the other?
I don't know. I didn't get into the whole sleep thing.
I need to make more sleep happen.
Stress.
Mm-hmm.
And, antacids.
I don't do antacids.
So, that was a surprise to me. So, antacids will wreck your gut biome. I was thinking of my mom when I saw that. I was like, holy shit, because she had ulcerative
colitis?
Yes, thank you. And it was hell for her. It was terrible. And she was always taking antacids. She was always on antibiotics. It was
both of those things don't help at all.
No, they don't. And they didn't know any better back then, I guess.
No, they didn't.
It was bad. Anyway, refined carbs, white flour, etc. So, as we've been told throughout our lives, eat a healthy diet.
Exercise, drink plenty of water.
Right.
Final thoughts, Kimmy.
On this? Or are we going to talk about the other stuff, too?
No, we can't. That's.
Are you sure?
The slow coup of our government? You want to talk about that right now?
Slow coup. Not a haiku.
A slow coup. Maybe next week we should just write haikus about the slow coup.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. That'd be fun.
It needs to be separated.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
This was a lot. That's my final enduring thought.
Is it really?
It's a lot.
My final enduring thought is I'm not actually thinking these things. My body is thinking them. Maybe my small intestine is saying these words right now. If they only have the brain mapped out, they don't know.
Well,
map up the rest of the body, why don't you? I'm yelling at
map
them.
It up.
They.
Map it up, them.
Them.
The smart people.
I want you to do it. I pay taxes, damn it.
We have questions. We need answers.
We need an expert.
All of the experts. Locked outside.